Don't you love that song, Beautiful Savior? Why is He so beautiful to you and to me? He is so beautiful because of what He has done exclusively for us who believe in Him. He yielded Himself to the Father's will. He purposefully came down to this planet and bore all of our infirmities, all of our struggles, all of our pains. He walked among us as one who understands what it's like to have a stubbed toe, what it's like to be yelled and cursed at. So we could understand that He knows what it's like when we feel betrayed and left alone. But more than anything else, He came to this earth so that He could bear for us our sins, your and mine, the things that we do to create damage in others' lives, and above all, damage to our great God. You see, Jesus was willing to kneel. He was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to serve. He was willing to do whatever it took to come alongside of us. Isn't that what makes Him so beautiful to us? We love Him for that. Now, I want you to hold that thought. You know that I'm going somewhere with this. I want you to think for just a moment about the yielding of Jesus for your good, for your benefit, and for mine. Just think about that. Some people are very tired of religion. Very tired of it. But I don't think any of us ever gets tired of thinking about or talking about relationship. Maybe you heard this past week, Rick Warren, the pastor of Saddleback Church in California. He was getting ready to interview McCain and Obama about their faith and politics. And in the interview and preparing for it, I heard him say to a reporter who asked about how he was going to approach the issue of Christianity with those two candidates. He said to them, "I am interested to learn not whether they have a religion, but whether they have a relationship with Jesus Christ." And I think that hits the mark, because that's really what it's all about. It is so much easier to consider religion when you think of it in terms of a relationship with one who loves us, who yields and serves and graciously gives, right? This morning, I want to invite you. And on the basis of God's Word, I want to call you and me to reciprocate that attitude, that spirit, not just with God, but also with each other. In a culture that demands its rights, that focuses on what we have the right to individually, I want us to think about what we've just spent the last 15 minutes focusing on. The beautiful Savior who gives and gives, and we love Him because He gives again. And I want us to ask ourselves, am I willing to give in kind, to yield? I want you to take a look at a little diagram here, because this is the operative concept for today. You see this on the road all the time. Some of us do it very well, others of us don't. But I'll tell you, when you obey that sign, it prevents a lot of collisions, right? Prevents a lot of problems. Yielding the right of way, they call it. What I want to talk to you today is about not just Jesus yielding the right of way, but us learning in kind to yield the right of way in our relationships. It is so critical. Humans are strange creatures. You ever thought about this? We're going along, cruising through life in the younger years. We're single. We're experiencing life in all of its facets, and all of a sudden, one day, we wake up, and it's like we We just head out onto the street, we find another person, and we say, "Hey, you're it. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Let's get married." And then we do the most unusual thing. We get ourselves connected, married to this person. We move into the same house with this person. We share kitchen and living room and bathroom and bedroom. Isn't that weird? But many of us do it. And it's not just that we pick a person, but we pick often somebody who is totally different than us. It's like in essence we say, "Hey, I pick you to spend the rest of my life figuring out how to get along with you. I want to spend the rest of my days arguing and making up and figuring out why you think the way you do because I don't understand you, but I pick you so I can do that." Why in the world? What are we thinking? And then, to top it off, as though it's not enough, we say, "Hey, let's add kids to the mix." So we can complicate it even further and spend the next several decades of our life figuring out multiple personalities. Isn't that a disorder? And so we spend our lives in this connected... We were single once. Why would we ever do this to ourselves? Have you ever thought about that? Well, we think about that because God wired us to think about that. God created us to live in community with people who He made extraordinarily different from one another so we could learn to share and to give and to yield and to serve. Does that make sense? But we live in a culture that finds it so hard, and we wrestle and struggle. And God has some very clear guidance to help us do the crazy thing that we have done when we got married. And by the way, what I'm going to share with you today is as valid and helpful for people who are not married, because the same concepts apply to all relationships. So you'll hear me wander in and out of discussion of marriage and other relationships. The same principles apply. All right? Take your Bibles out. Page 1159. 1159, we're looking at Ephesians chapter 5. We're in this series on Ephesians, we're looking at 20,000-foot truths, applying them to street level, and it doesn't get any more street level than your and my kitchen, living room, bathroom, bedroom, our homes, our marriages. It doesn't get any more relevant than this. The love of God that yields for us, that it welcomes us. Ephesians 1-3 is full of these kind of concepts. Yielding and loving, redeeming, electing, drawing. And now he says, go and do likewise for one another. Wow. How in the world do I do that? Here we go. Let me read it and then we'll talk about it. One of the most controversial passages in current culture in all the scriptures. Here we go. Verse 21 of Ephesians 5. Submit. Don't you love that word? Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, His body, of which He is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. By the way, when I read words like that, I hope you don't hear that as Fred saying these things. This is God saying these things. Listen. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, as just as Christ does the church. For we are members of His body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. This is God's word to us. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Here's the starting point. Keep your Bibles open, you're going to need it. Verse 18 is really the context for what we're talking about here. Remember, by the way, last time, I've been gone for a week here, but the last time I preached, I talked about relationships and some of the principles to make your relationships stronger. It's carrying on, but applying it more specifically to the household now. Verse 18 says, be filled with the Spirit. That's the key. Be filled with God, with the love of God, with the guidance, the protection, the comfort, the wisdom of the Spirit. Now, what does that apply to? The next, there's a number of words. If you're into grammar and literature, these are participles, okay? If you don't know what they are, don't worry about it. But here's the application. Be filled with the Spirit. How? Verse 19, by speaking with psalms, singing, making music in your heart. Verse 20, giving thanks to God. And now verse 21, submitting. In the Greek, that's how it works. Be filled with the Spirit by submitting to one another. Wait a minute. Did you hear it? Submit to who? Somebody. One another. Submit to one. Who's one another? I would imagine one another being the broad verbiage that's used there means anybody with whom you come in contact, with whom you are in relationship. Submit to one another. This is the context for what we're going to look at next. We submit. Men submit. Wives submit. Kids submit. Teens submit. All of us submit to one another. Why do we submit to one another? Out of? Somebody say it. Out of respect for Christ. Do you see it in the text? Out of respect for Christ. We submit to one another out of respect for Christ. What is submitting? Submitting is yielding. Picture driving down the street. The yield sign comes. You have the option to ignore it. You do so at your own peril. You obey it to your benefit and the benefit of the person you will not hit by yielding. Right? God has a desire to protect the relationships He created us to enjoy. Enjoy. And the way to enjoy is to yield. The way to protect it is to yield to one another. We live in a culture that is so focused on me and my desire and my wishes and wants and will that this is a radical concept. No wonder we trip over this text. The reason I started the service the way I did today, by having communion first, is so we could get into perspective that the yielding which we are called to do to one another and what's coming next is in response to the yielding that Jesus did to the Father's will for you and me, for our benefit. His sacrifice, His serving heart, His giving spirit, His going to the cross activity demonstrates to us, models for us, what this text is all about. And before you determine to turn the switch and to shut off this message and its application for your life, I want you to think about your openness to what Jesus did for you. If we're willing to receive His yielding for our benefit, how about us willing to yield for the benefit of others and the glory of God? That's the calling for us today. So let's take a look at it in specifics. I'm going to take you to the end of the text first. Verse 33. A couple of words, just four words I'm going to focus in on this morning because we can't cover it all. But verse 33 says, however, each of you must also love his wife. So husband, love your wife as he loves himself. And wife, respect her husband. A couple of brief notes. Those are the easier words in this text. All right? Husband's love. Agapao is the Greek word. It has the strength of godly love, which simply means reflecting the sacrifice, the giving spirit, the willingness to put yourself second. Not that you are second, but you put the other person ahead of you. All of those things that Jesus did. Husbands, love your wives in this way. And I wonder for how many of us this week would reflect, guys, who are married, and Those who are not married in your relationships would reflect toward others a submitting to God by showing agapao love, self-giving, sacrificing, submitting, serving love to people around you, husbands to your wives. And wives, see that you respect your husbands. Isn't it interesting? If you talk to counselors and psychologists today, they will say that some of the differences between men and women are that women are kind of wired. They can't understand why. At least those who don't know God personally can't understand it. But somehow women seem to be more wired to be looking for expressions of affirmation and affection, unconditional expressions of love. And guys are wired to receive respect. It's just the way we're made. Hello, we have a God who designed it that way. And in the craziness of what we do when we go from being single to being married, somehow we connect up with a person and we look to that person to not to meet all of our needs, but to meet a few. And there's one of them. Husbands, love, give the affirmation and affection and attention. Wives, respect, give that sense of affirmation to who he is, to what he's thinking. Give value to what his ideas and to who he is as a person. Give respect to him. And so I want to ask for the women here today, wives and women who are not married in your relationships, has this been a week of respect giving in your relationships? Yielding yourselves to Jesus means respecting people in your relationships, and women who are married especially respecting your husbands. Love and respect. It's not always easy to do. Some of you have heard, watched that movie, 27 Dresses, where it says, love is patient, love is kind, I think I'll lose my mind, right? The only reason I know that is because I got dragged to that movie by my wife. I was the only, there's maybe five guys, an entire theater of women. That's part of loving. It's not always easy, but it's what God calls us to do. Colossians 3, verse 19, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. In a culture especially where harshness, where talking down to your wife was very common. And Paul challenges that, God through Paul, directly. All right, those are the easy words. Now we get to the tougher ones. Here they are. Sacrifice and submit. Those are the next dual set of words that we have to tackle for this morning in a culture that hates those concepts. Sacrifice and submit. Guys first. Take a look if you got your Bibles open. Looking at chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. And now it doesn't use the word sacrifice, but it sure conveys the idea. Look at it. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I've asked here before. Yeah, I've said, if I were to do a hand raise, how many people would find it very hard to accept this idea of submitting to your husbands? And, I would imagine all the hands would go up. That's crazy idea. Isn't it just unbelievable? Submit to your husbands. But then if I were to say to the guys who understood this concept right, how many of you would find it relatively easy to sacrifice for your wife as Christ did for the church? What did he do for the church? He died. He died. Submit yourselves to one another out of respect for Christ. Yielding yourself to your spouse involves loving your wife to such a degree, in such a way, to such an extent that you will give anything, even your life, for her. Guys, I wonder how many of you in your relationship with your spouse or other relationship have expressed this week a degree of love that your wife would say reflects that you'd be willing to do anything it takes to show her how much you care. I wonder even in your office environment, in your friendships and hanging out with people, whether you have shown a commitment, a devotion on the level that says, I'd do anything to show you how much you mean to me. I know some of our relationships are more professional. Guys, we're pretty good at that. We keep people at kind of arm's length distance. Maybe part of that is breaking down some of that barrier, accepting some of the Hebrew mentality of a relationship being more than contractual agreements. That there's a person behind the conversation. That there, that person has a heart. That even guys have egos and that have needs, that have perspectives, that need support, that need respect. And so we learn how to apply this idea of sacrifice. Sometimes sacrifice means biting your tongue when you don't agree, your opinion is a little bit different. Or expressing your opinion in a kinder, more thoughtful way. Sacrifice with your wife, giving over something that you would rather have for yourself, a preference for a vacation designation. A purchase that you have to decide between one item or another. And you can only do one or the other because you only have so much money. And sacrifice comes into the picture. And you look at your spouse and say, got it. That's what you'd really like. I would love for you to have what you would really like. Sacrifice. Been at couple of weddings this summer, three of them. And in one of the weddings, Ingrid's brother-in-law, Hans, said to his son-in-law, who was marrying his daughter, obviously, he said to his son-in-law, and I could imagine just about any dad doing this, he said to him, to your wife, my daughter's, virtues be kind, and to her faults a little blind. Isn't that great? What a great line. To her virtues be kind, to her faults a little blind. That's part of sacrificial love. That's part of it. How are we doing at applying that in our lives and our relationships? Yielding ourselves. By the way, you do that as the head of your wife. Again, the language is so atypical for our culture today. Verse 23, it doesn't say, husbands, become the head of your wife. It says, the husband is the head of the wife. He is in the leadership position. What does that mean? What does this crazy language mean? It means, first of all, that God knows exactly what He's doing. And that God has exactly our best interests at heart. Let me preface it by saying that in all the other scriptures, God makes it perfectly clear that men and women stand equal before God. There is no inequality. There is no superiority or inferiority of one toward the other. There is no reason to question the intelligence, the ability, or the dynamic, the equivalent dynamic that each partner presents to a relationship. They are on equal surface. And we are equal before God. But within the equality, there is functional differentiation. How does that look? You don't need to go any further than to look at the Godhead. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you think for 1 minute that the Son or the Spirit decries the fact that they need to submit everything to the Father, which the Bible says they do? Have you ever thought about that? That Father, Son, and Holy Spirit designed and modeled for us this whole idea of yielding and submission. Do you think for 1 minute that the Son has any difficulty in yielding to His Father? There is such an intimacy of love, such a mutual service toward one another, that there is no struggle. There's no evidence of it in all the Bible. The Son willingly submits to the Father, the Spirit as well. And they are one together. God the Father, Son, and Spirit. Functional differentiation within a broad equality. And it works! And God says, listen, I know you're imperfect, but because especially you are, you've got to learn this concept. It's the only way to have what I want you to have in relationship with one another. So He says, husbands, love. In fact, the bigger part of this text is about loving your wife. And then He also says, wives, submit to your husbands. That word submit is the one we trip over because we live in an age where there's been so much abuse, so much degradation of the concept of submission. It becomes subservience. It becomes inferiority. It gets all messed up. And God wants to restore. That's why I use the word yield. It has the same concept. When you're driving your car and you get to that place where the yield sign is and you yield, you don't yield because you're any less than the car who's on the road in front of you. You're not sitting there thinking, wow, I must be a lesser person. My car must be worth less than that car. That's crazy. Now you stand there and you think, I better yield because it's for the best interest of both of us. Somebody's got to. It's what makes traffic flow. It's what makes relationships work. And when the loving and the sacrificing of the husband is in place and working as it should, then the respecting and the submitting of the wife works too. The yielding. Verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. You see that phrase, as to the Lord? The whole idea here is that the ultimate yielding that all of us do is always to God. Any yielding that wives give to their... Did you hear this language, by the way? Wives give to their husbands. Husbands, you cannot demand it of your wives. That's just wrong. The onus is put on the husbands to sacrifice, and the onus is put on the wives to yield. They voluntarily give it out of yielding their commitment to yield to God. As to the Lord, as I yield myself to God, I yield myself to you. We face a long history, as I said a minute ago, a long history of abuse and misuse of these concepts. Spiritual abuse has been evident throughout history. And so it's almost risky to talk about these topics. But it's riskier not to. The long history of people taking a text like this and abusing it so that men treat themselves as superior, talk down to women, so husbands mistreat their wives and relegate them to a lesser place within the relationship. All of that mistreats and makes this difficult, but doesn't make it irrelevant. There is a current history, though, that counteracts it, and that needs mention as well. It's the current history where men are treated as bumbling idiots, inept at best. And the most recent history in media, and especially in Hollywood, is to present guys as being totally incapable of anything that would come close to leadership. And they're talked down to, and they're talked sarcastically about. And the text says, wives, treat your husbands with respect. That's part of the yielding that you do. You give respect in an age of disrespect. By the way, just like with children honoring their parents, you don't honor your parents necessarily because they're always honorable. You honor them because it's God's calling. In the same way, husbands don't sacrifice for their wives because their wives always reciprocate as they should, but because it's God's calling. And wives don't submit to their or yield to their husbands because their husbands are respectful individuals always, but because it's God's calling. What does this mean? Just brief application. And this is just, I think, frankly, by experience through time. Ingrid and I certainly have had to learn. Those of you who know us pretty well know that we have had our struggles in our relationship. And that I have had to learn so much about what it means to stop being selfish and start honoring and loving my wife as God calls to. And Ingrid in kind has learned wonderfully how to yield and respect. And that's when relationship works. And so it doesn't mean that, let's take a conversation about, let's say you're deciding whether to sell your house and buy a new one. You don't check your brains in at the door, wives. You intelligently engage, and there's an equality in the engagement of intelligence and the sharing of opinions and expressions, and at times of disagreements, there's a long-term wrestling process that you go through. And there is, in the middle of that, a husband who says to his wife, I want a gift for your need. And she says, and I want to respect your view. And they wrestle and work, and when they can't figure it out, the first thing they do is they pray. The last time you argued, disagreed, did you fight for your rights or did you pray? And then you talk some more and you converse, and through this sacrificing and yielding process, you come to an agreement where at the end of it, nobody feels hurt, left out, or put down. And the husband feels like he's able to give some of the leadership that he's called to within the marriage, but the wife at the same time doesn't feel in any way brushed aside. And in reality, there's very few things on which ever the one spouse feels like they have not been heard, because there is such a mutuality. The husband giving leadership, basically initiating first of all in the serving, then also in the discussing. Guys, we tend to be so passive. We got to fight that tendency. We retreat. We stop conversations. We talk less. We go, right? And we feel like our wives are chasing us. Why? Because they are. Because they need conversation. They need a sense of affirmation. And God says, stop the passivity. Be responsible. Engage the relationship. And wives, in the process, be respectful and be willing to yield. And so I imagine it in some conversations where actually it would go this way, that at the end of a long series of conversations and prayers over a very difficult decision that you can't agree on, that the wife finally says, I trust your leadership. And the husband looks and says, thank you. And I love you so much. And the net result is often something that makes the wife very happy and satisfied and leaves the man feeling really good about how God made him to be. You got to figure it out. But the purpose of all of this, to wrap it up, is simply this. It's not hierarchy, but unity. I think a mistake that I've made in looking at this text in the past is that I thought that it kind of, for once and for all, settled the whole issue of functional authority in relationships. In reality, it's not about authority or hierarchy at all. It's about unity. And it really struck me this week as I looked at the text, and it said in verse 29, it's talking about Christ and the church and the husband and the wife. It says, after all, no one ever hated his body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. Christ, who is our leader to the church, gives for us because we are members of his body. For this reason, it goes on, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two become one flesh. Unity is the goal. Not hierarchy. And so maybe the net out for all of us this morning is simply this. To recognize again that in the crazy sphere of relationships in which we live and move all the time, that God desires a deeper unity than what we most often experience. And that the path to that unity is a willingness to yield to Christ and out of that yield to each other. Guys, specifically, loving and sacrificing, wives and women specifically, willing to respect and to yield. My prayer is that you give some consideration to it this week. You got to think about how to apply it. But let me end with simply a word of hope. First of all, for marriages, there's such a devaluing of marriage today. I think if we could get back some of these concepts, we would learn to elevate it to the rightful place that it should have, to the beauty of relationship and of marriage as God ordained it. The hope for community. In a world where we're so isolated and individual because we're scared of being hurt in relationship, we'll be willing to open up again and experience the unity and community that God wants us to have by applying the principles all over the place. The hope for society. Where we have so much gender confusion today that people don't even know how to relate to one another and retreat regularly. Society could be benefited by these concepts applied faithfully. And kids, the hope for kids who could see their parents stop fighting, who could see their parents learning to love each other, learning to give each other as God says to give. Why do all this? Because of what Jesus did for us. Let's stand for prayer.